Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 98, presented by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. Drink 'em if you got 'em. Sed Golden here with Kirk Bowles. Duck.
Yes, sir.
Big news coming out of D.C. The Supreme Court overturned the anti-gambling bill for sports. How soon till Texas gets one?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
No?
No.
No, you're right.
Not going to happen.
Not in this state.
Not in this state. We're going to break that down a little later in our little podcast. Also going to talk a little Texas baseball.
Big regular season
Woo. Finale series against the TCU Horned Frogs. Horns have an outside shot to get to gain a share of that Big 12 title regular season. But first, a friend of the podcast and Texas Longhorn royalty already in his fifth month as the AD, Chris Del Conte joining us. Here's Chris Del Conte on Second Thought. Joining us live on a car phone, no doubt, Kirk, the illustrious athletic director of your University of Texas Longhorns, Chris Del Conte. Chris, what's happening, man?
Hello, gentlemen. Everything's good. Just driving down to another tour stop.
Man, he is everywhere. He's all over the place. You get frequent miles, don't you, for driving all over the state of Texas?
Well, Robert, I'm on my third truck of 5,000 miles each, and I got to turn it in, so I'm on my third one. So we're putting some damage on this truck.
Well, for those who have been away from Earth for the last month or so, the tour of Texas.
Yeah, what is that?
That is a UT Longhorn creation. Chris Del Conte and a caravan of coaches and fans and well-wishers going to different cities. They started in Austin, went to Midland, Amarillo, Dallas, Fort Worth, Corpus, San Antonio, Houston last night.
Been everywhere.
Rio Grande Valley coming up on Monday, and then you save the best for last. My hometown of Tyler.
Oh, I thought you said they were going to College Wednesday. Station.
No.
How come you're not going to College Station?
Currently, that town's occupied.
Yeah, but you could slip in there, schedule a football game or two, and then just hightail it to Tyler.
A little home and home, maybe?
Yeah. How's that working?
I understand the concept, fellas.
Well, I got to ask you, Chris, what's the most asked question that you've heard in this long city tour that you guys have been on? What's the one question that you go, man, if I hear that question again, I think I might scream?
You know, every town has been a little different. Fellas, let me just tell you the genesis of the idea. It was a little bit different than most tours that coaches go on, is that this is Texas tour really was the idea. We're going to bring the admissions office with us. We're going to bring the Texas Exes, and we're going to bring the athletic department. We are now saying we're one university with one voice, and by taking the three most public entities in terms of the athletic department, Texas Exes, and a lot of questions are always centered around admissions and why my child didn't get to go to the University of Texas. It's good to bring them with us. And the idea is that instead of being splintered and being siloed, we're going to be a one united front. So it's been great for us to go to every city, and we have the admissions office come up and talk, sending your brightest to the University of Texas, and what that means to have great students in your city, that the option should be UT. And go through the admissions process of what that takes. And then, two, have the athletic department and our talk about where we're at, where we're going, and a little bit of where we've been. You know, we've had a tumultuous road, but we are not going to put the tee back in Texas just by one person alone. It's going to take all of us and us singing on the same page, and then have Texas Exus, which historically has not been integrated with the athletic department of the university. It's its own function. We're trying to say, look, it's a lifetime commitment when you go to the University of Texas. Three of us are part of that commitment, so let's band together and tell our story. So that was the genesis of it, and it's ironic, the farther you go away from Austin, the heart grows a lot fonder. So the questions are completely Amarillo than they were in Corpus Christi. So I haven't had the same question outside of for Tom Herman. Who's the quarterback going to be? And can we complete a second down pass? Other than that, everything else has been pretty. every other question has been pretty. They've been unique. There's not one that's been the same.
Well, that's what I thought. I figured their first question would be, why can't my kid get in? And then the second question is when we're going to have another football national championship, you know, here in Austin. So,
you know what? At the same time, when you look at what we went through as an institution, I always start the conversation with the idea that, you know, in the last 10 years, since 2010, we've been on a rocky road, right? And
You
think about we've lost, you know, whether it be the university going through with the governor and the regents of what University of Texas should be. And that was a lot of conversations around that. And then all of a sudden, four schools, A&M, Missouri, Colorado, and Nebraska leave the Big 12. We went through that. We make our AD retires, and then you have a new AD. And we've, you know, our three greatest coaches in the modern era are let go. And that took a lot of psyche from our department. And, you know, who really felt a lot was within our own department. And Mike came back and he played for Del Royal, and he did an awesome job of, say, steadying the ship. And now we have to move forward. And one of the things I tell him, we have to own our past. We have to understand that this is what happened. And a lot of people blame us for all those faults. That's okay. Let's own our mistakes, and let's own up to the fact that, you know what, we are in the Big 12. We have great new coaching stats. We're putting the tack in Texas, but it's going to be all of us together are going to have to do that. And it starts with individually. Take the individual agendas away, and let's make sure that we are all together singing the same tune. And that includes you two fellas. You know what I mean? All of us.
We've been following Brian Davis's stories on this, and I think it's really cool that you come across, you know, very hands-on with the fans, social media, man of the people. When did you figure out that Twitter was the quickest way to reach out to a large group of people without having to do mailers and stuff? It's actually a pretty smart way of going about a grassroots type campaign. When did you figure that out?
You know, what's interesting is that you have young children and you see how they operate, how they connectivity with them, right? And when all these social media platforms are coming on board, you see how that has taken over how people are communicating today. And I was a little slow on the uptake. A lot of people, I was watching my good friend Greg Byrne, who's the AD at Alabama. He says, hey, do you ever use social media? I go, man, I'm a little nervous about it because I didn't quite understand how to really use it. And then I decided, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to get in all in. And I went to our staff and said, okay, do this, and we're going to jump all in. And my job is I'm hired by the people to work for the people for their university. You know, I'm the steward of their athletic program. So if things are going wrong, I want to respond, but I want to respond to that, making sure my staff is not also paying attention to what I'm saying so they fix them. If the restroom's broke, I'm going to say, my bad, we're going to fix it. And by golly, it better be fixed, right? If we have if something goes wrong in the stadium or a concern they have with tickets or donations, they're all following me now and they're responding. And I'm also making sure that our staff are responsive to those individuals, because we're only here because those people are investing in the enterprise. And your two jobs really is to hold me accountable. right? And I always tell that to Bulls. I love the fact that, you know, that's what media does. Media holds us accountable when we're not doing as well as we should be. Praises them. But the idea is that I'm also held accountable to 600,000 living alumni, and social media is a quick way for not only me to gauge what is happening, but also to me interact with people that otherwise I wouldn't have a chance to interact on a daily basis.
Well, two questions on that line. Do you tweet at 4 in the morning like a certain president?
Yes, sir.
And have you blocked either
me? No, I'm not.
Have you blocked me or Cedric yet on Twitter? Sure.
Okay, listen here. I have not blocked anybody. Yes, I will. I don't sleep very well, so I'll get up, and some days during a game, I'll check my social media all the time during the game, because it's a way for me to find out. Example was this year, we're playing a basketball game, and the lines were horrific. I got that message. I walked outside, looked at them, readjusted some things, and the next game made improvements. It could be concessions, you know, anything. So I always actively look at it during the game, because more importantly, I want to know what they're experiencing. It's up to me to make sure that we can change the changes we can change in a quick fashion. But I do check all platforms at all times of the night, and some days it'll be 4 o'clock in the morning and my wife will go, really, give it a...
Well,
she's cool with it now, but I have to go in a different room.
That's nice. It's good to have a big house. Hey, I know I read from Brian Davis that I wanted one of your Metroplex stops. You were very opinionated on the Irwin Center. Said it, you know, that it's outdated. It's 40 to 45 years old. And what's the update on that project? We're hearing 10,000, 12,000. What's the update on the new Irwin Center?
I think all that is still in play. What I'd like it to be, this is just my personal opinion. You understand, if you're going to go in a private partnership with another company that's going to help participate in this idea of a public-private partnership, the reality is the Irwin Center served the city of Austin unbelievably well. We had 1,000,001 customers come through that venue in this past year. We'll have 35 graduations, countless concerts, you know, Monster Mash, WWF wrestling. It's amazing what goes on in there. Yeah, and it is. We need to have a city like Austin deserves and needs to have one of the finest facilities in the country. I'm just saying that if you seat 14,000, 16,000, I would like it to be a 10,000 seat venue for basketball. Right? And there has to be a way to then have a 10,000-seat stadium that if it's a concert, it can go bigger. But if it's for us, it's intimate, it's close. To have the students need to sit from behind, from one bench to the next. You need to have suites and club, and you need to have all the modern amenities that you want. Great concourses, great concession venues, unbelievable Wi-Fi. And their experience, an event experience, has to be greater than your house and your couch.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because we're asking you to we're asking you to spend discretionary income to come support our program. So what we're doing is we got to have things that are over the top, right? When you look at the end zone building that I'm trying to propose to build, it's over the top because we're asking that individual to come and spend 4 hours with us, 5 hours on game day. When you look at what we're trying to do with our game day environment, is that coach has a chance of grabbing you at all times. I don't want to go down there. Traffic's bad. It's too hot. Well, you know what? We got to make it an event, a day of celebration. And that's what 6 football games are to me, is a celebration of Texas. And we need to do a job at that and make sure that it's worth your time to get off the couch and come. Number 2 is in the basketball venue is the same kind of concept. And that's all in the early stages of design and negotiation and with potential partners that have yet to happen.
So when do you think you might break ground on the new basketball arena?
Well, that's a ways away.
Okay.
We still got to get through the whole
right
rigmarole of does this concept work for the right partner and all that stuff.
Right. Okay, how about football? We've talked before about putting grass in there. You like Tom and Tom Herman both like grass fields, south end zone reconstruction, renovation, if you will. You hope to do that, start of that next summer, correct? And how big would the seating capacity go?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a seating capacity will be increased. Is it going to be augmented? Meaning, are we going to have more premium type offerings, more seatings? You know, we're looking at having, I sent out a questionnaire. I'm sure you guys got it. It's 26 pages of information I need to learn from our fans, what they like to see, not only in art, but in new offerings, whether it be low seating, club seating, field access suites, field access clubs like the Cowboys, Founder Suites. And a lot of that is to make sure that we get a brand new building. The bones of Moncrief, but that building was built for John Makovic.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells you how old that building is. And when John left, Mac Brown got in there and nothing was done to the building.
Well, right.
That is fantastic. But when that building was built in 97, when you think about it, it's 20 years. You look at the building projects that have taken place at Baylor, A&M, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, TCU. You know, our facilities, even though we have the greatest brand in America, the reality is our facilities are not up to par with our brand, and we need to make sure that they are.
And that's, you know, and I've been in those other facilities. They are state-of-the-art. That Baylor facility is just breathtaking. And I know if Baylor can do it, then Texas can do it much bigger than that. Tom, you I know the big news going around the country now is the gambling bill that's been overturned by the Supreme Court. How do you think that affects college sports in general? And what was your reaction to hearing that news?
I think that we knew that there was, since the bill was coming down the pike. We didn't know where it was going to take. The rule was put in place in, I want to say, 1992, but you also have two states that offer it, Nevada and New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and at that time, when you think about gambling way back in the day, gaming, when Kurt and I were around, it was only in the desert. You only went to Las Vegas to gamble, right? Now it's under 30 states that have casinos. So, you know, Blue Eyes are no longer going to Vegas. They're going to Chumash, or they're going to Twin Star. They're all over the place. So the reality is that casinos were in two states for forever, and then gaming was in that. So I don't think it's going to have a significant effect. I think what's going to have an effect is how it's implemented and regulated. To me, that's going to be the critical thing. And I don't have an understanding of that yet until what Congress or each state, how they're going to implement those. And then we'll discuss that. But the gaming laws currently that are in New Jersey are very strict. They're within those states, and they've perfected them. It'll be just interesting to see how it comes across from state to state.
And it's in.
But I'm not too worried.
And if you pay attention in this state, Republican leadership, Greg Abbott, Dan Patrick, opposed gambling, but if they see the revenue that this is could provide for whether it's education, health care, ease property tax burden, whatever, and they bite the bullet and go ahead and pass this, would we ever see a betting parlor at Royal Memorial Stadium?
Oh, wow. Come on now, Kurt. Now you're just... Where are you at, buddy?
Pay the bills,
Chris. Sometimes he goes off the reservation.
Hey,
I mean, and
my main man jumps off the diving board. Hopefully, there's some water there.
There isn't. I think he's already landed before he asked that question. I think he landed head first. I was like, "Where are you going with this? Oh my God!"
Hey, do you think Jerry Jones is going to have a betting? What's that?
No, I understand the question. It's interesting. Go to ball stadiums in Europe, right?
Right.
You can buy a ticket and bet on the game. I don't foresee that ever happening here. I understand where you're really coming from. If you look at Wembley or you look at venues across in Europe where you go buy a game and a ticket,
right?
Bet on the game at the same time. I don't foresee that happening. But it's not out of the far reaching question to ask. I don't foresee that whatsoever. But you know, we were worried about the gaming industry has been since the dawn of time. People have bet on sporting events,
and that's right? Not going to change
and that's not going to change, and it's each state chooses to regulate it. But one of the things I look at, if two states have it, why can't 51 have it? It just all depends on how they regulate it.
Exactly, how they implement it. The devil's in the details. Well, final question, we'll let you go. We know you need to go press the flesh around the Lone Star State here. Baseball, you're on the D1 selection committee. So that means the Longhorns are a lock to be a regional host, correct? A couple weeks?
You know, that's the worst setup of all time. You're just trying to kill me, you know what I mean? If they get in, I'm going to give it to Del Conte. If they don't get in, that bum, he couldn't even get him in the tournament. It's ridiculous.
It's a lose-lose.
No, I will tell you that those, I have, when they talk about the University of room, you're excluded from those conversations.
Yeah, but you got to go back in the room. You got to go back in the room, and they don't want to suffer your wrath.
Let me help you out.
Okay.
At the end of the day, if our student athletes do what they do on the ball field, we will be in great shape.
And David Pierce has done a good job, right?
But I don't know. No, David Pierce has done an awesome job. I mean, you think we have a big series this weekend with TCU, right? And the team he has this year, what he's done, an incredible job, and we're hoping to get a bid to go to the NC2A tournament, hosting a regional and super regional. Those chips are going to be depending on how the rest of the fields play out. But the reality is what he's done, and then our women's softball team just made the NC2A. They're on the way to Seattle. Both our men's and women's tennis teams are in the Sweet 16. Both golf teams are doing fantastic. So we've really had a great spring. Both track teams took second places this past weekend in the Big 12 championships. And if our women don't drop that baton on the 4x1, and that's always a tough race, we win the Big 12 on the women's side. So really proud of the effort of our coaches and our student athletes this spring.
Now just find a quarterback, and they'll build a statue to you, Chris.
Listen, yeah, we have two great quarterbacks. What are you talking about?
Hey, you're going down to the Rio Grande Valley Monday. They're just falling out of the trees down there. That's quarterback central, bro.
Oh, my God. And money, he's going to be.
I understand the concept.
He's going to be in their pockets down there, right?
You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in Taos, New Mexico, in my hometown, too, I guess.
Didn't see them on the list, but that's okay.
Didn't see them on the list.
Well, you go press the flesh and pass the plate and find that quarterback, and we'll have you on again real soon, Chris.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you, fellas. Have a great day.
Hey, take care, man.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You know, Duck, Del Conte is funny and he's fun to talk to, but man, I'm telling you, I bet those coaches are like, when can this thing be over?
Oh, you know it.
I mean, how would you like to be traveling around the state with your boss?
Oh, I'd love to. If I get to go to Midland or the Rio Grande Valley or Amarillo, I would pay money out of my own pocket to do that.
You know, I've never been to Corpus.
I've never been to Amarillo.
I don't think I have either.
You never been to Corpus Christi?
I've never been south of San Antonio.
Where do you go to the beach?
I don't go to the beach.
Why don't you go to the beach?
Because I'm not a beach guy.
Have you ever been to the beach?
We were on the beach in L.A.
That was 6 months ago, and that was your first time at the beach? Do you know what sand feels
like?
I've been in
many beaches because I've been to L.A., I've been to San Diego, but I just don't go on vacation to a beach.
Wow.
But I've been on beaches, sir.
That's shocking you haven't been to the beach.
Well, I'm just not.
Corpus Christi.
I'm not big on that.
No.
I'm not big on that. Well, let's, you know, we hit a little bit on the gambling thing with Del Conte, and I don't think it's going to be as big a deal as a lot of people are making it out to be.
Oh, I disagree.
They think that because they're going to make sports gambling legal that all of a sudden people are going to lose their minds gambling. Guess what? People who gamble on sports have been gambling on sports for years. It's not like there's going to be this huge run of gamblers.
No, what it's huge in is the income for these states.
Well, that's a big deal.
That's
But I'm talking about the people themselves. Lives aren't going to change.
Grandma in Tater, Texas isn't rubbing her hands going, yeah, I'm going for that parlay. I'm going to the wag-a-bag and lay down $10 on the Kentucky Derby. No, we may see some marginal betting like that.
There will be.
But the big thing to me is they've quit, you know, pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, where these pro sports act like, oh, we don't want gambling, we don't want gambling. Oh, here's the line.
So
here's the injury reports. It's like, come on.
Here are three or four shows a day on fantasy football.
Stop it.
I mean, fantasy football has helped the NFL stay ahead of the curve when compared to the NBA and the others.
Yeah.
That is a billion-dollar industry, and it is all about pro football, man.
And it can use it now, too.
Of course.
Because some declining TV ratings and attendance after the kneeling anthem controversy, all the Kaepernick backlash toward the owners.
We talk about that, but I think that what's not getting mentioned is the exorbitant ticket prices, the parking.
The money
it takes to go to a pro football game. This has a lot of it has to do with the kneeling in Kaepernick, but a lot of it has to do with it's a lot cheaper to invite a couple of buddies over and buy a case of beer and order some pizza and watch it on the flat screen.
It's just like Del Conte said, we got to get them off the couch.
Got to get them off the couch, and that's a tough battle. I talked about it last week, and you called me out on it because I'm like, well, and he brought it up too, the heat, the flat screen, the ticket prices, the long lines.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is a tough battle if you're trying to get a consumer to leave air-conditioned comfort to come out and pay $25 just to park his car. I mean, that is a tough sell for Chris.
But back to the pro sports leagues, I think they have, quote, opposed gambling, unquote.
Publicly, yes.
Wink, wink.
Privately, you know, they love it.
They love this thing. It's going to skyrocket. I mean, you know, I was kidding Chris about, you know, a betting parlor, you know, in Belmont Hall inside Royal Memorial Stadium. But I guarantee you, in some states, you know, you go to the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Green Bay Packers, don't you think in some point you can go, you know, you can go get your hot dog and then you go to the betting parlor and lay $25 on the Packers to cover?
I just don't.
Don't you think?
I don't think the owners are going to go for that.
Oh, but why?
Because they're
you got a captive audience.
There's so much hypocrisy. What's going to happen, Duck? You won't see a betting parlor at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T
across the
Stadium,
street.
But there'll be a little kiosk across the street where they're taking action.
Kiosk? You're going to be a casino,
yeah,
probably.
They're not going to do. Yeah, they may buy that Walmart out and turn
it
into a casino.
It won't be a little kiosk.
But there's not going to be on property. I just don't think that they're going to. I don't think they want that look.
You think Jerry would pass that up?
Jerry will have a place, but I just don't know that it's going to be on the property.
Well, here's my problem, too, is I don't really want it in the stadiums. Do you?
No, I just think that's
I think the states are smart to legalize it, and I guess the report so far is like 32 states are kind of lining up or considering, you know, implementing this as fast as they can. Mississippi is one of them. You know, they said something like 45 days.
They need it.
New Jersey may do it by the weekend.
Mississippi needs it.
Exactly.
It's a poor state.
Yeah, what is it? It's a moneymaker. Why wouldn't you?
It relies a lot on the tourism industry, and they have a lot of casinos in Mississippi. They're going to build these big-time casinos, these places like in New Orleans and Shreveport and Biloxi and Tupelo. Those places already have casinos, Duck. They're going to add sports books to those casinos.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a big boon to that economy.
I was listening to Aaron and Bucky's show this week, and they were talking about, I think the number was 2.9 billion Texans, not people, 2.9 billion Texans were going to casinos at the adjacent states and spending money that was not going into Texas coffers.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Duck, I go to Shreveport two or three times a year.
I know you do.
And when I'm down there, half the people are from Dallas and the other half are from East Texas, Tyler, Longview, Kilgore, Carthage, places like that, Marshall. And I've always wondered, why are you letting all of that money go into the Louisiana economy when it could be going into the Texas economy?
Two words, and you touched on them in your column, Bible Belt.
The Bible.
It's the morality code. It's like, never mind that all these Texans you're trying to save from gambling are gambling anyway, just doing it in other states.
And they're going to gamble.
They're going
to
gamble.
They're going to go to the Windstar in Oklahoma. Yeah. They're going to go to the Horseshoe.
Absolutely.
In Shreveport. And they're going to go to Harrah's in New Orleans. The people from Houston are driving to New Orleans to gamble.
So
when there probably should be a casino in Houston. It is one of the five or six biggest cities in the country, and they've got all that potential revenue, and they're not taking advantage.
I thought the Republicans were pro-business.
They are.
Gambling is big business, and business can be good.
They are pro-business. They are big business. But the thing about Texans, this Bible Belt mentality, they kind of like the appearance of things. Let's quit talking about how things look, and let's settle about
let's
talk
be real.
About what things are.
Let's be real.
Let's be real.
Exactly.
It's a market. There's money to be made.
Right.
There are people that can be helped as a result. You can tax these gambling.
Absolutely.
You can tax these establishments, and you can make money. Here's a question for you. How does it affect the kids in college? I mean, you showed me a stat that 26%.
24% in 2016 study said they had wagered illegally on sports.
College 5% athletes.
5% female athletes. 24% male. So they're doing it anyway.
And it's illegal.
And they're risking their eligibility.
And guess what? Some of them are also smoking pot.
No, they're not.
And drinking underage.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. And doing other illegal things.
I had no idea.
That kids do. So this is no different. It's a moneymaker. They need to make it happen. I know Texas, the Bible Belt is behind on a lot of these issues. And don't let the train pass you by while these other states are starting to get rich, because what's going to happen is you're going to be playing the moral majority card when other states are getting fat.
Absolutely.
And economies are improving. Texas is already one of the best states to live in. You don't want to get passed up by an Oklahoma or Louisiana.
But there could be a plus out of this. Could be a plus in this, so maybe fewer people will move to Texas
because
they're going to gamble in their other states. So, all right, but the winners are going to be the states that legalize gambling. They're going to get this unrealized income that will be realized, and they're going to generate serious dollars that they can help, you know, fix their budgets and fix a lot of their problems, fix bridges,
just like
health care, fix
like
education.
Just like they did with the lottery money?
No, the way they could be honest with the public and tell them where they're doing it. So
did all that lottery money go where it was supposed to
go? No.
I didn't think so.
All right, here's the thing. The states will win. The pro sports leagues are going to win because it's more eyeballs.
Absolutely.
On their sport. TV ratings are going to go up. You know, how many people say, I don't watch football. I don't like the NFL anymore. So now it's like, yeah, I got $20 on the Packers. I'm going to watch now.
Let me jump online.
So TV ratings are going to go up. I mean, Vegas. Is Vegas a loser in this?
No.
Tell me why.
Because it's still a destination.
I agree.
People want to go to the desert still. I'm taking Bev. We're going to some shows. We're going to do a little bit
of gambling. Well, it's not legal yet in a lot of these other states.
I know, but Vegas, people go to Vegas. It's a family spot.
I agree. And it'll stay a destination.
It'll stay a destination
spot. But could it hurt it a little?
No, because the sports book part of Vegas is not as big for casinos revenue.
Okay.
Sports book is important, but it's not nearly brings in the kind of money like a slot machine.
Well, the other thing, these leagues are asking for an integrity fee.
Buy me some integrity.
They want 1% of all the bets made. I mean, come on now. And they're not going to give any of that money back to the athletes.
No.
We know that. We know college athletes aren't going to get any of it either. Mm-hmm. So, who are the losers in this? The states that don't realize they can do this and make money, who else would be a loser in this equation, if you look forward?
Your friendly neighborhood bookie is a loser.
Don't you think he's going to find?
He's been taking action for years and getting that VIG, getting that little piece of money. Even when you win, he gets that little percentage, called the Vigorish or whatever it's called.
Isn't he going to be working in the betting shops?
He's not going to be working in the betting shops because he's just going to be another guy. Now you're not going to him anymore. You can go to the more regulated one. You can hang out
in Texas.
You can hang out at the DKR betting parlor that you're trying to build with Chris Del Conte. Yeah, so I don't think it helps. Just like legalizing marijuana doesn't help the drug dealer on the street that's mm-hmm. peddling weed.
Right.
I think that the bookie that's been taking action with his little notebook for 30 or 40 years might get run out of business.
You know, the other thing, too, is I'm not a gambler, as you know. I like blackjack when I go to a casino with you, but I'm not a big-time poker player or anything like that. But if it was if there were places all over Austin to bet, you know, I could see going there and putting $10 on the Cowboys. But, you know, I think And that's the danger, I guess. Well, I can control myself.
Well, your wife laughed when you were betting a little $5 and $10 bets, and she wanted you to bet big money.
A couple years ago,
I go, "What are you thinking?"
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, you're gonna be living under a bridge.
Well,
let him bet his $10.
Thought I had all this inside knowledge.
She now?
Yeah, she's been proved wrong. So, but anyways, I think you would pick up. Say it's legal in Texas starting tomorrow. And you can bet on baseball. You can bet on these NBA playoffs that are going on, anything. I think you would get more the college student. I think you'd get the marginal guy. Because as you said at the outset of our discussion, the gamblers are already gambling.
Yes.
You know.
They never stopped.
They never stopped. And I don't know, will they bet anymore? I mean, maybe the addicts will. Because can't get to Vegas.
No. The addicts are already betting the max.
Yeah, you can do it online or wherever.
This is not going to be an increase for people who are already doing it. It'll make it more accessible, but they've already had access to websites that the government still doesn't hasn't found out about yet, and that they're betting on, and they have the what is that thing with the live fantasy?
Yeah.
That they have every week.
Fantasy Kings and all that. And I spoke to a gentleman this week, the Fantasy Football Convention. They've run contrary to the NFL and shut them down until last year. You know where it is this year?
Vegas, probably.
Yeah, that would be wrong. It's in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, my God.
In mid-July.
Why are they having a fantasy football convention in Fort Worth?
Because they can, and they're going to have 200 either former or current players there. And now they may have the NFL's blessing, but among them are people like Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Tony Romo, Michael Irvin. And you and I may be there. We should have our podcast from there.
At the Fantasy Football Convention?
In mid-July.
I don't do fantasy football, sir.
Oh, yeah, I've seen your teams.
I know.
You don't. You just don't do it very well.
I might get arrested if I go walking into that thing.
Oh, they love you. They love the losers.
Oh, they love
come
the,
on in,
the
come
lovable
on in.
Loser. Yeah,
the
like
guy's looking for that little bit of inside to get that edge that, you know. Since you're not my partner, so
we'll see what happens with this thing. I think it's years away. Texas is behind.
It may be years away in Texas.
Yeah, but other states are going to jump on pretty quick.
Oh, I think the Oklahomas and the Mississippi's, Louisiana. It'll be there by nightfall. Maybe sooner.
It might be there sooner, but hang on to your hats in Texas because it's going to be slow going. Going to have to drive to Norman to place a bet on the Sooners, bro.
Or keep that Southwest flight to Vegas.
Duck, those Texas Longhorns have a chance to win a Big 12 championship with David Pierce. Will it happen with this big series coming up against the hard luck TCU Horned Frogs?
Well, it's going to be tough because they probably need to sweep TCU because I don't think Texas Tech can sweep Oklahoma State. That series is in Stillwater.
Yeah.
And they've got a 2-game lead on the Longhorns, the Cowboys do. So, best case scenario would be a tie because the tiebreaker over Oklahoma State and Oklahoma and Texas Tech and Baylor.
They've won the important series this year.
Yes, they have. And just like the Texas Tech series, is that the pitching wasn't real good, but the bullpen was nails. Andy McGuire, Parker Joe Robinson, Josh Sawyer all had good moments in Lubbock. And, Clemens keeps bashing. Zach Zubia keeps bashing, maybe freshman of the year. So
maybe a freshman All-American.
Maybe. And I think Clemens will be an All-American.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, and probably Big 12 Player of the Year. And David Pierce should definitely be considered for Coach of the Year.
And that's kind of cool. Augie Garrido passes and David Pierce finally coming into his own. Still going to be after that elusive first
playoff
regional
series win.
Yeah. And I think if they can take 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
From TCU, no matter what happens in Stillwater,
right.
I think Texas will get one of those 16 regional
bids. Well, most
bids.
People think the Big 12 only get 2 regional host bids, and that's understandable.
That's fine.
Even though Texas Tech has a better RPI, last I checked, I can't believe they'd deny Texas if they won series from both Tech and Oklahoma State, as well as Oklahoma. So
they wouldn't deny Texas because I think Texas, number one, is television friendly
and ticket friendly.
They're going to pack Dish Falk Field.
Oh, yeah.
They have a relationship with ESPN.
Right.
That stadium looks good on television.
And there'll be a betting parlor there at Dish Falk, you know, right next to the concession stand.
And they're going off at plus 115 to win the region.
I love it.
There,
love
we
it.
Can talk about gambling now. There's a time when Mr. Oppel didn't want us running betting lines in the paper. I remember that.
Hey, DeLoss Dodds didn't want us running it either.
Yeah, so. But Mr. Oppel ran the paper. DeLoss wasn't running nothing.
He ran a lot.
Yeah,
so.
He didn't run what was going on over here.
Anyway, so. I like the way this team has battled. You know, that may be a trite phrase, but they have. Their pitching hasn't been, you know, very stable, and that's really tested David Pierce and his staff. But their offense has been good. Their defense has been outstanding. So all you want is a chance this time of year, and they're putting themselves in good position.
And Leukenbaker, not going to be with the Horned Frogs. Arguably the scariest player in all of college baseball at the end of last season.
Second year in a row, he's had an injury.
Broke his leg, and he's out for the year. And that might be it for him in college.
He may go pro. I think I would go pro, as injury prone as he seems to have been.
Yeah, get that money.
So, but they really need to get a little more deep into these games from the pitching staff, especially Sugart and Nolan Kingham. So the bullpen kind of take over and get some clutch hits. So. It's all out there for Texas, and I think it's a pretty exciting time of year.
Game 1, 6:30 Thursday. Game 2, 6:30 Friday. Game 3, 2:30 Saturday. The Duck will be there on Saturday. Longhorns have a shot, and it's getting to be about that time, Duck, where it's all we're going to be talking about is college baseball because everything else is roaring to a close. So we'll see you out at the ballpark. It won't be me, but look for the Duck. That will do it for episode 98 of On Second Thought. Thanks goes out to Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte. For the Duck, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.